You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. It's a story Boise State Public Radio News has been covering for 3 years now. An Idaho filmmaker has been documenting the plight of a tiny dolphin-like mammal called a vaquita in the Gulf of California. Called the pandas of the sea, these adorable creatures are critically endangered, with less than 15 of the animals left in the wild. Fishermen in the area use gill nets to hunt for a very lucrative fish called the tatuaba. The vaquita get caught up in those nets by mistake, and then they end up dying. Idaho film company Wild Lens has been documenting their plight and has collaborated with Leonardo DiCaprio's film company to take their new feature film to the Sundance Film Festival. Matt Podolsky with Wild Lens is with me now, and he is joining me to talk more about this. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
That was a mouthful for me to get through all of these names,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a complicated issue, and yeah, there's a lot of people involved.
So for people who haven't followed this story, give us just a quick rundown of the vaquita's timeline.
So the vaquita is the most endangered marine mammal on the planet. As you said, less than 15 individuals. And it is this illegal fishery for the tatuaba, which is tied into this global illegal wildlife trade, this illegal trade of their swim bladders, which are being transported across the world to China, where they're sold for tens of thousands of dollars. And so it's this illegal wildlife trade that is indirectly causing the extinction of the vaquita, because nobody is actually intending to harm the vaquita, but it just so happens that the vaquita is about the same size as the tatuaba, which is a very large fish, and it very easily gets entangled in the nets that are set for tatuaba, which is all illegal activity. The tatuaba is also considered an endangered species. So anybody who fishes for tatuaba is breaking the law, but the reward is so high
that they're willing to do it.
Take the risk.
So is there any type of monitoring of this then? Because if this is illegal, I mean, granted they have to go out on boats and go in the ocean and the whole thing, but is there any type of way to catch these, you know, fishermen who are going out there to get the tatuaba?
So there are lots of attempts to do that. And in large part, this is what we were documenting in the new documentary Sea of Shadows that will premiere at Sundance in about a week. We tracked a number of these efforts to actually enforce this law that is on the books that makes it illegal for fishermen to go out and catch tatuaba. The reasons why these efforts to enforce the law are failing are complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were to boil it down to basically the simplest form, the reason why it's impossible to enforce this law is because the whole illegal market and the illegal trade in tatuaba swim bladders is run by organized criminal networks. So the same cartels that are dealing in drugs are now responsible for transporting these swim bladders from the fishermen to organized criminal networks in China.
And that is
And it's illegal
problem.
At every stage of the process,
mm-hmm.
right? It's illegal to transport these swim bladders of the tatuaba. It's illegal to sell them once they're in China. But you have the largest drug cartel in Mexico working directly with organized criminal networks in China. And the people that are involved in the enforcement effort, I think there are a lot of really passionate people that are trying to do the good thing,
mm-hmm.
trying to do the right thing, who work for the Mexican government or some of these other agencies that are supposed to be enforcing this law. They're afraid.
So this is what you're doing in the new documentary that will be premiering at Sundance. But before that, you had another documentary, and this is kind of where you first told the story of the vaquita, and this was called Souls of the Vermilion Sea. Now, talk to me a little bit about that film, because is that what got the attention of the actor Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yes, in part. So we produced this half-hour film, Souls of the Vermilion Sea, which is out and available for people to watch. People can watch it on Amazon Prime. And we essentially use that film both to do education and outreach mm-hmm. in these communities that are being affected by this issue, but we also used it to go out and seek partnerships and financial support for a feature-length version of the film. And yes, that is how this larger film, Sea of Shadows, came about.
So this new film then, Sundance starts January 24th down in Park City. How did you, I mean, it's not an easy task to get a film into Sundance.
I don't know how that happened. You'd have to talk to the Sundance judges. I mean, it certainly doesn't hurt that we have Leonardo DiCaprio's name attached to
it
as an executive producer.
It helps.
But I mean, I think the story that we told is really powerful. Mm-hmm. I think it takes an issue that, you know, seems like a really small issue that on the surface maybe seems simple, you know, one small species of porpoise that is facing this extinction crisis. But when you start looking at like the reasons why and how complex it is, and you know the fact that you have organized criminal networks like transporting this product, you know, across the planet, mm-hmm. you know, and that is leading indirectly through bycatch to the extinction of the vaquita. The whole thing is crazy and bizarre.
Was it just crazy as you were filming, you're figuring this out? And this is because this new film called The Sea of Shadows is actually billed as a docu-thriller.
Yep.
Because, I mean, it does sound like a thriller when you talk about organized crime and drug cartels. Mm-hmm. And it's about fish mm-hmm. and porpoises.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in like this, and, you know, yes, as I said, I mean, it's, this is like about this issue. It's happening. You know, it's connecting these two disparate parts of the world. But it's also an issue that is illustrative of lots of other extinction crises going on all around the globe. So like, yes, it's bizarre and it's crazy. And you start uncovering all the layers of what's going on. And it's, you know, I mean, yeah, there are many moments where, you know, we're like, did that just happen? Like, did the Navy officer really just tell us that he's afraid to actually do his job because of the involvement mm-hmm. of the Mexican drug cartels? Like, you know, things like that. You have moments where like, oh, my God,
like
this is unbelievable.
Like, that didn't just happen, right?
Right. But then you have to take a step back and realize that, like, the reason why this is an important story is because this is happening all over the world.
I'm speaking with Matt Podolsky with Wild Lens Production Company about the plight of a tiny dolphin-like mammal and the new docu-thriller, Sea of Shadows, that will be at Sundance Film Festival. You know, how important is it to get this story out in a venue like Sundance?
It's extremely important. I mean, Sundance is, you know, it's sort of the pinnacle in the film festival world. And, you know, I mean, when we, at the very beginning of this project, when we first started documenting the plight of the vaquita, you know, one of the goals we set for ourselves was to make the vaquita a household name. You know, we want people to be aware of what's going on, right? And that does not necessarily mean that we're going to prevent the extinction of the vaquita. Mm-hmm. But if we get people talking about it, and we get it so that people understand these complexities of the situation and understand that this is happening in other parts of the world as well, and that we have to learn from these lessons in order to prevent future extinctions.
And speaking of extinctions, I know we said that there were less than 15 vaquita left. Before we came on, though, you said that number might be a little bit smaller now. You don't know for sure, but it's because, what, the illegal fishing season just started.
Yeah, so the fishing for Tituaba, illegal fishing for Tituaba actually happens year-round, but the Tituaba go through a migration. Mm. And so only for about half of the year does the range of the Tituaba overlap with vaquita. The other half of the year, there is some Tituaba fishing going on, but the Tituaba are more spread out. The fishing is not as intensive, and it's happening outside the range of the vaquita, so it's not harming vaquita mm-hmm. through bycatch. But we have already entered the time of year when the Tituaba is now entering the same waters as the vaquita. Illegal fishing is already happening. There was a news story earlier this week that a group of fishermen attempted to assault one of the vessels of the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, which is one of the nonprofit groups that is working to, they're actually assisting the Mexican Navy in trying to enforce these laws against Tatuaba fishing. So, I mean, the intensity of this issue, it's already stepping up. It usually reaches its peak around March and April. It's sort of the peak fishing season for Tatuaba, but it's already happening now. And this is the time of year when we lose vaquitas.
And, you know, we haven't even talked about the fact that when a species goes extinct, what that does to our environment as a whole. So if we're looking at vaquita and even tatuaba, because you said they're endangered as well, correct? What does that potentially do to our oceans?
I mean, for the vaquita, I think the vaquita is more of a symbol. The vaquita population has been very low for a long time. You know, if you look at historic times, there were probably 5,000 to 6,000 vaquitas, which is obviously much more than there are now. But it's a small species with a very restricted range.
Because they're only in the Gulf of California?
They're only in the very northernmost part of the Gulf of California, okay. Right near the delta of the Colorado River. So, like, realistically, at this point, there are so few vaquitas. Like, what is the difference to the ecosystem of the northern Gulf, you know, with 10 vaquita, hypothetically, versus zero vaquita? Like, it's not... You know, it's not, the ecosystem is not going to collapse, right? But the problem is that if we don't stop gillnet fishing, the gillnet fishing and the fishing for Tatuaba specifically will lead to a collapse, because those gillnets are not just killing vaquita, they're killing lots of other marine mammal species.
Right, because they all get caught up into these nets. And so it's not like, oh, well, we're just going to get the Tatuaba and we can throw the others back, because they all get caught up in those nets, correct?
Exactly. And gillnet fishing is a global problem.
Right.
I mean, we're dealing with one very, like, specific implementation of gillnet fishing, where it's being used specifically to catch an endangered species. But all gillnets harm wildlife. All gillnet fishing has these really severe issues with bycatch. And marine mammals in general are very susceptible to dying as bycatch, because they need to surface in order to breed.
Because we've heard about this with dolphins and things like that, correct? With gillnet fishing over the years.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, so, it's a global problem.
So as you said, the vaquita is really that symbol then of a true example then of what gillnet fishing does. But underneath that, it's like all of these layers that you uncovered.
Absolutely. It's not just one lesson. It's many lessons. There's a lesson here about gillnet fishing and the impacts that it has on non-target species and marine mammals specifically. But then there's also a lesson here about the impact that these criminal networks can have when there is a market for an illegal wildlife product. It doesn't matter where that market is on the planet. These organized criminal networks will find a way to transport that product to the source of that demand. And if there isn't strong government oversight and, you know, a coordinated effort to stop these illegal criminal networks, then, you know, this is how extinctions happen. I mean, this is one way that extinctions can happen. And I mean, really what's going on in Mexico right now is not that dissimilar to what's going on in with the drug war. I mean, this is like really
very similar,
really at its heart. I mean, this is, you know, and there are, like, I know that there are a lot of honest players working for the Mexican government that are trying to do the right thing. But there are also a lot of, you know, we also know that there are members of the Mexican government that are being paid to look the other way by the drug cartels, by organized criminal networks. And so, I mean, this is, like, in a sense, if you boil it down, like, this is a war happening within the Mexican government, you know, of, like, you know, these honest people within the government that really want to see, you know, this situation be resolved. They want to do the right thing, are fighting against, you know, people that have been corrupted and, you know, who have decided to accept payments from the drug cartels.
So the film will premiere at Sundance, have some showings, and then from there, what happens?
We're waiting to see. So, you know, we don't have a distributor for the film yet. And that is, you know, one of the reasons that you take a film to Sundance, right, is to find a distributor. So we'll definitely be screening it at other film festivals moving forward, and, you know, working to develop a plan for larger distribution for the general public.
Well, I want to thank you for coming in today. Fascinating conversation. I've been talking with Matt Podolsky with Wild Lens Production about the fate of the Vaquita and the new film Sea of Shadows that will be premiering at the Sundance Film Festival in next week?
Yep, on the 27th. Sunday the 27th is the premiere.
Good to talk to you.